I remember just a few years ago here in Fish Lake Valley when we had storms and lightning and thunder and all of that, and we had plenty of it, and snow. We had to walk out about 30 or 40 feet from our little motorhome to our cabin where we did all of our recordings. And we'd have a, and of course in summertime it was hot. We did have a little tiny air conditioner in there, but we turned it off as we recorded. And in the wintertime, no matter how cold it was outside, many times with our wood-burning cook stove, we had to open all the windows and doors because it produced plenty of heat. Now, we will be having one of those in our living room. We're building on a living room onto our house that'll have a dining table and a china cabinet, and a wood-burning cook stove that'll help heat the house. So our heating bill hopefully will go down by a lot with that. So continue praying for us as we go there. I was just thinking about that as we started into this message here, that it was so good to be in here. We're having lightning and rain and thunder today. We've had between 100 and 200 lightning strikes within 5 miles of us. And yet, if our electricity goes out, we have a generator that will kick on. And we've made a lot of progress in these last years, few years. And thank you for your prayers. In Jacob's life, he had lots of problems. And he went from one problem to another problem. He went from Jacob, getting away from Laban. And then Laban chases him down. God appears to Laban in a dream and said, "Don't touch him or else I will do you in. You want to live, then wise up." And he did. And now he is on his way to see his wayward, wicked brother, Esau. The one that sold his birthright, the one that swore to kill him. "When our father dies, I will kill him. I will kill him." That's what he's saying. And the problem is that not that Jacob is a weakling. Many people call him a mama's boy and all this stuff. Jacob was a powerful man. I want to reemphasize that over and over again. He was a big, powerful man that stayed out in the field with his flocks and fought off the wolves and the robbers and the thieves, the lions, the bears, the wolves. He was the one that stood in the way of all of this. Now, Jacob is going to try to meet his brother. He's going to try to meet his brother in peace. "Then Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming." Now, he's been sending him presents and hoping to soften his heart and praying that God will do something with this maniac. 400 men with him, so he divided his children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. And he put the maids and their children in front, and Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. Why did he put Rachel and Joseph last? He loved her. This was the love of his life. The love of his life. He put her last. If all of these else make it through alive or else they get killed, he's still going to have Rachel and Joseph. Joseph was his son that he loved so dearly. "And but he himself passed on ahead of them and bowed down to the ground 7 times. 7, of course, is always the number of perfection. "Until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and he wept." He kept on kissing him and he kept on weeping. God had softened his heart. Jacob was safe. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the women and the children. He said, "Who are all these with you?" So he said, "The children of whom God was graciously given your servants." Then the maids came near with their children and they bowed down. Now this is all Oriental customs here now. This is an Oriental custom. And we're in the what we call the Middle East. These are Middle East customs. And Leah likewise came with her children, and they bowed down. And afterward Joseph came near with Rachel, and they bowed down. And he said, "What do you mean by all this company which I have met?" And he said, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." The word favor there means grace. To find grace in the sight of my Lord. "I know you wanted to kill me, Esau. I know that. And I left, and I was gone over 20 years. Now I'm coming home." But Esau said, "I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be your own." And Jacob said, "No, please, if I have now found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand. For I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably. I saw your face as the way I saw God. I was in the presence of God, Peniel, remember? And I see God in your face. I see that God has provided for me." God answered my prayer one more time. "Please take my gift, which has been brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have plenty." Thus he urged him, and then, of course, Esau took it. He took the gift. Remember what he gave him? He gave him milk cows, except these milk cows are milk camels. And he gave him male goats, and he gave him female goats, and he gave him male donkeys and female donkeys, and probably cattle. Then Esau said, "Let us take our journey and go, and I will go before you." But he said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are frail, and the flocks and the herds which are nursing are a care to me. And if they are driven hard one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my Lord pass on before his servant, and I will proceed at my leisure. I will drive and graze my cattle according to the place, the pace of the cattle that are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my Lord Seir in Petra." Now, if you've been to Petra or seen many pictures of Petra, this is where Esau lived. This is his domain. This was his palace, so to speak. And Esau said, "Please let me leave with you some of my people who are with me." But he said, "What need is there? Let me find favor in the sight of my Lord. Let God take care of me. Esau, I don't need your warriors. God's going to take care of me. I don't need your help. I don't need your guidance." He said, "I know all this country." Remember, Jacob had gone through all this country. He was a shepherd. He went out here and he fought lions, he fought bears, he fought wolves, and fought off thieves and robbers, taking care of his father's cattle. And the Lord took care of him. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth. Succoth means what? You remember what Succoth means? That means booths. Remember the feast of the booths? Now it was ahead of, at this period of time. Israel hadn't gone into Egypt yet. When they came out, they had the feast of booths, the feast of tabernacles. And that word Succoth there means tabernacles. He journeyed to the place of the tabernacles and built for himself a house and made booths for his livestock, and that means shelters for his livestock. And there the place he called Succoth, or booths, or tabernacles. A tabernacle, a booth, is a place where you have shelter. Indians lived a nomadic life, and they had traveling the teepees were the first motorhomes. They were the first motorhomes. They were the ones that they would take a horse and they would take the teepee poles and put it across there, and then put the tent around the poles and carry all of their belongings on that, on a travois, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Travois is a French term for a drag. And they would go from camp to camp. And they would set up these teepees. And now this is the land, one of these days, that they're going to go and they're going to dwell in with tents. Abraham, it says, looked for a city whose founder and builder was God himself. Abraham never lived in palaces. He lived in tents. Jacob didn't live in palaces. He lived in tents until he went down into Egypt. Now Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem. Now Shechem is a very important place. This is where Jacob's well is, you know. To the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, which he came from Paddan Aram, and he camped before the Lord. Now this is a very important place in Jacob's life, because now he's going to have to become a warrior again. And he does. He becomes a warrior. I probably will read to you some of the things that took place in the, among these people. In this place of Shechem, this is where, as we're going to see, that his sons get in trouble. And they start a whole war with all the people of the land of Canaan. And over 100,000 people in Canaan are killed because of this. And he brought the peace of the land where he had pitched his tent from the hand of sons of Hamor. He bought a piece of land. And Shechem's father for 100 pieces of money. The word piece of the money there is 100 pieces of silver. Silver. The word for silver and money is silver, and silver is money. Then he erected there an altar, and he called it El Elohi Israel. The God, the one belonging to Israel, and Israel, the one belonging to God. God was going to take care of Jacob now. He's in the land. But now something through deceit and murder happens. And violence, Hamas. The name for Hamas means violent in Hebrew. And we're going to find a lot of violence in the chapters to come. Our Father, we thank you for this message from your word. We pray that you apply this to our lives, that we trust in you, and that we look to you for all of our problems. As Jacob went from one problem to another, you always protected him. As we go from one stage of our life to another, we look forward to your protection. And please use us even though we're old. A lot of the world looks upon elders like we are as useless and worthless, and something as a problem. Help us be useful. Help us to be leaders in our societies, in our country, wherever we are, in our neighborhoods. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.